Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Now, this is a very long reading, but you get the gist of all what is going on. I mean, we need to go from the beginning to see where Paul and Silas were heading off about their own business, and then they were distracted along the way. Let us pray. I'm praying from Psalm 119, which says, "Let our cry come before you, O Lord. Give us understanding according to your word. Let our supplication come before you, Father. Deliver us according to your word. Our lips shall utter praise, for you teach us your statutes. Our tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteous. Let your hand become our help, for we have chosen your precepts. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and fill this place and give us a clear understanding of your word. We sanctify this place with the blood of Jesus. We arrest every distraction in the name of Jesus. O Lord, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Amen." Now, this passage is Paul's account of a miraculous event that took place during the time of the birth of the early church. The early church were a group of people, I should say they were rebels for the kingdom, because they were professing, preaching, and bringing people to the understanding of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Contrary to the laws and beliefs of the religious leaders, and I would say these were rebels, making an impact everywhere they went. Paul had had an encounter with Christ, the Spirit of Truth. He was privileged to know the truth from the horse's mouth, and he was taking no chances by being lukewarm. He had a job to do, and he did it with all his might. He was the one assigned to bring the gospel to the Gentiles, and already he was making an impact. The earlier verses in Acts 14 verse 3 says they were speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done in their hands. They were turning religion upside down. In this particular event, they were going to pray when they met a servant girl possessed with the spirit of divination, and she made profit to her master by fortune telling. The Bible says she followed them for many days, crying and saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Then Paul got annoyed, cast the spirit out. The slave master got angry because his source of financial supply had been cut short, and he proceeded to make accusations against them, which landed them in prison. Here we see two spiritual forces at work. Paul and Silas, an embodiment of the gospel of Christ and the spirit of darkness. Take note, these people were on the way to pray. They were on the way to give thanks to God, to surrender to the Lord in prayer. The message of Christ was bringing enlightenment to the nation, and they knew how to surrender to the grace of God. And as a result, we see the enemy coming at them, the same way the enemy tempted Jesus in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. How many times do we set time to pray, and suddenly we find ourselves thinking about other things? Mind-boggling thoughts just come in to distract us. Suddenly, our mind will just go on to the Sunday roast that we want to prepare. Or we might even begin to calculate our expenses and income, doing accounting in the midst of prayer. Even when we set out to read our Bibles, by the time we know it, sometimes it is even our own snoring that will wake us up. There is a system at war, causing us to deviate from the knowledge of God. And if you are not aware of what is happening, this is the way we will slip our way out of victory. Paul and Silas were aware that the girl was not of a clean spirit, They had the spirit of discernment. How were Paul and Silas able to detect that the girl did not have a clean spirit? Because their spiritual senses were heightened by the very act of their steadfastness and fervent nature. Any ordinary person who did not have that discerning spirit would have been swayed by what the girl was saying. And this is what causes men to fall. They could easily be drawn into self-gratification. It appeared as though she was saying the right things, but it was not said from a standpoint of good, but of evil. One thing we must remember, in all this, the plan of the enemy is not to allow these men to bring the message of truth to the people. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ has come so that we might have life and have life more abundantly. There was a force that was not happy with the way things were going, and the aim was to distract them. Even in our current situation, before the pandemic, we were going to church, having at least 2 services a day. We had the choir, we had music, we had praise and worship, we had Bible study groups. Young people were finding expression by being able to come together in church. The old were being renewed, we were getting comfortable in our way of life, meeting in a building in order to find expression in Christ. And then there was a pandemic. Churches closed their doors, most jobs said stay at home, and there were no shops for leisurely shopping, no restaurants, and it seemed like our journey had been aborted and we had been detailed into prison. As if that is not enough, people lost jobs, there were salary cuts, and businesses closed down. The government is frantically trying to find solutions to problems that are popping up everywhere. Paul and Silas were not only beaten and thrown into prison, they were placed in the inner prison and their feet were fastened in the stocks. But a miraculous event took place that caused even the jailer to turn to Christ. What can we learn about the Most High God in all this in order to be able to confront our insecurities and strengthen our spiritual position? What can we learn from Paul and Silas? What did they do to cause the earth to respond to them? What did Paul and Silas do to be considered as God's own saints? And what did they do that allowed them to be victorious even whilst in prison? One of the most important things to remember is God is always bringing spectacular victories to troublesome problems. God, by his infinite wisdom, created the heavens and the earth. He created us in his own image, so much that the Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God is constantly thinking of us, and he will never let his own fall. The Bible says that whilst they were in prison, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing hymns. At midnight, they were still praying and singing hymns. Just because they were now in prison, it did not stop them from continuing with the original program. The location may have changed, but it did not stop them to continue with their prayer. What did they have? They had a prison cell, fellow jailers as potential followers of Christ, and they turned the jailhouse into a house of prayer. It reminds me of when the churches closed their doors during the pandemic. But the word continued to spread, and it is spreading even more through the use of technology via the internet and social media. Whilst we were in the prison of lockdown, God found a way to bring the word right to our doorstep, right into our homes. We have come to the realization of what it means to be the church, and that the word of God can never be stopped. Whilst they were singing and praying, there was an earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, and immediately all the prison doors opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. May the earth respond to us as we exalt the name of the Lord in prayer and worship, and may every door be opened, and every chain loosed, in the mighty name of Jesus. This was no panic prayer. It was a fervent prayer backed by praise and worship. James 5:16 says, "The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." How heartfelt are our prayers? Psalm 149 verse 5 to 7 even goes us to tell us how to be fervent in prayer. It says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and the two-edged sword in their hand, and to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples." There is a principle that works, and that principle is prayer. Through the word of God, praise and worship, exalting the name of the Lord. In every situation we find ourselves, whether in trials or triumph, we must invest our relationship and fellowship with God through prayer, praise, and worship. We're instructed in the Bible that in everything, in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we must make our request known unto God. But what was the state of their mind? Surely they must have been panicking and anxious. Maybe. But we must remember what they were made of. Paul was an activist. He had in the past been persecuting the Christians until he met Christ face to face. And then his mindset changed, but his energy did not diminish. With the same energy, he now pursued the saints for Christ. These were people who preached the gospel of Christ radically. Their faith grew, and they were given the grace to perform in signs and wonders. They had faith because they learned how to dwell on the love of God that came through Jesus Christ. They had an understanding and a revelation of what Jesus came to do. Jesus was born of God. He was not born into sin. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit when he started his work. He fulfilled the law of Moses and died for the forgiveness of our sins, bringing John 3:16 to reality, that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Our forgiveness of sins is dependent on us believing in Jesus Christ and what he did. Because of the gospel they preached, this tells me that they had an understanding of the cross and the blood of Jesus. They prayed with an understanding of the blood. They prayed with an understanding of the cross. If we want that kind of prayer to make an impact and shift the atmosphere around us, or shift the spiritual atmosphere, we must learn to pray with the revelation and knowledge of the cross and the blood. Know that the cross is the power of God. It is where our King died for our sins, and where he declared that it is finished. Mission accomplished. The Bible says the cross is madness to the unbeliever, but for us, it is the power of God. Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." By the blood of the Lamb, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the words that they professed, the testimony of the word of God. Every drop of blood that Jesus shed was poured on the mercy seat, and that speaks good things over us. The blood cries for mercy. Blood speaks when it is shed unjustly. And as a result, the blood allows us to come boldly to the throne of grace and call on God with confidence. This kind of prayer that Paul and Silas prayed rocked the foundations of the earth, and that was done in humility and total surrender. They humbled themselves and became a living sacrifice to God. Praying is an act of humility, so never cease to pray. Isaiah 66 verse 1 says, "The Lord says, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one I would look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." Some people have finished university, and because of the current situation, there are no jobs. Don't panic. Some have come into some form of illness, being diagnosed with strange illnesses. Don't panic. Instead, let us use this opportunity to become a living sacrifice to God and surrender all our needs in prayer. In our state of joblessness, illness, let us lay down and surrender. Give thanks to God, exalting him above all things. Pray in praise and worship. I can imagine the words of a song that Paul and Silas were singing. I will not sing it, but I'll just read it. I'm sure you all are familiar with it. Back in the day, I would have sang. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you. I'm in awe of you. Where your blood runs red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here arms open wide, here you saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow down. They had purpose in their hearts to seek God, and they were passionate about the gospel. Their mission was to save lives for the kingdom. And even when their destination changed and they found themselves in prison, lives continued to be saved. Their act of faith was to open their mouths in prayer, praise, and worship. The timing was right. It was midnight. Maybe by the time they recovered from the beatings, it was midnight. Or maybe it was even strategic. It was a time when there are no distractions and all is still, and they can recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is always in attendance to those who have given their lives to Christ. It was like in the beginning in Genesis 1, when the earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, he opened his mouth and said, "Let there be light," and the earth responded. Similarly, at a specific time of quiet, when you can focus on the presence of the Holy Spirit, that is an opportune time to speak. Pray, praise, worship with the awareness that he is present, and surrender to the magnitude of his power to cause a shift in the spirit realm. What happened next? God responded to his word, and the same will happen to us. Isaiah 45 verse 2 will happen, where the Lord says, "I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break into pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron." There was a shifting in the spirit, and in their case, a physical manifestation of that shifting. Their chains were loosed, and the jail doors opened. When the jailer saw this miracle, he was afraid. He was about to kill himself. He thought they had all run away. But from the prison, Paul stopped him and told him, "We are all here." That day they added another soul to the kingdom, because the jailer and all his family were saved. I have a friend who says to me, "Jenny, no more King Sera Sera. I need to be specific and intentional." So be specific and intentional about your seeking God and abiding in the principles of the kingdom of prayer, praise, and worship. Amen.